Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
But across from me is my thought partner. Across from me is my rotten soldier, my sweet cheese. It's JP. What's up, buddy?
You're also, I would say, an incredible thought partner.
This whole time, you know, like Dust and I, good friends. We weren't thought partners. Any of my other hosts, we were not thought partners. You and I, we are partners in thought.
If we use that the way that Andrew Barry used it today, that might be an insult. I might take that as an insult, if we're being honest about it. That was the weirdest way of putting that he possibly could have come up with.
No, that's exactly how. And it's funny because the big takeaway from Andrew Barry's press conference, and by the way, the Cavs going for a record tonight. We're going to get into that, right? We've got plenty to come from the playoff rankings in college football that we'll get to. But Andrew Barry, his press conference today, hang in the Louvre. Just, it is a work of art. And everybody's takeaway is he said nothing. And I actually disagree with you. He said some things. Some of them are gobbledygook. Some of them meant nothing. And others, kind of just told you where he's at in the grand cosmos of things.
Well, like 97% of it was pretty awful.
Yeah.
97%, but then yeah. 3%. That's what we're going to spend the next 5 hours on, Nick.
Yeah.
And 3% of goodness.
And here's the thing. You made the point that, like, because I think people were mad. He didn't say anything. I think that's kind of the point today. I think you made that point in our pre-show.
Yeah, that was the goal. He accomplished the goal. It was much different than last year when he opened up with a 10-minute diatribe before he could even let the questions pour in an interview process that lasted an hour. Like, much different tune this year.
Yeah, and we're actually going to start. This was the tone setter for today, was his opening statement and talking. He used the D word, disappointment.
Enter the bye week at 2-7. It's obviously a disappointment, and you know, we haven't played well enough. We haven't done the things that are needed to achieve consistent results and consistent wins throughout the season. It's disappointing for us internally, disappointing for our fans, and all of us share in the record. You know, it's not just our players and coaches, it's myself, it's our personnel staff, it's our research group. And our focus really this week is on doing the things that are within our control to play quality football through the last 8 weeks of the regular season, because we have not done that to date.
I mean, they're disappointed. I guess I should just stop being mad. I mean, if they share in our disappointment, I guess we're good. I mean, hey.
Just wipes it all away. Everyone's disappointed.
They share in the record. Well, that changes things.
Hey, but he acknowledged this was not good enough.
Well, and he acknowledged. I think he acknowledged that the fans are disappointed. Which is good, because that tells us that he's at the stadium on Sundays and he hears the disappointment.
It's like setting a house on fire and then turning to the homeowners and being like, "Hey, listen, I'm just as mad as you that this is going down this way. Like, this did not go the way that I wanted to either."
Well, and then when you go, when you're the homeowner and you go, "Okay, but why did you set my house on fire?" Then you would go, I'm not at a point of reflection.
We're not there yet. I don't do that right now.
Okay, so you're disappointed and you share in that record. This is a failure. There's a disappointment. You never use the word failure. You would never do that, because then that opens up another box there. But then the real work of art is saying we're disappointed. You know, this is our record and this is not where we expected to be. Okay, why? We'll tell you later.
That's really all it was, though. That's all it was. And I want to kill him in many respects. Like, I just want to be like, this was the worst thing you could have possibly done. I didn't get angry during it. Did you get angry during
it? Oh, yeah. But I think it was finally just like, oh, you're going to do that.
Okay, because I hit that maybe like 30 seconds into it. I said, okay, that's what we're going to get today. Okay, all right, that's fine.
Because I'll be honest with you, I felt like this is the most Kevin Stefanski Andrew Barry's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I think you and I see this differently, because I think you just think, And you think of Andrew and Kevin in the same league?
I do.
In terms of press conferences?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
For me, I think back to that 10-minute diatribe and passion and, you know, they might maybe owning small things about why their record was where their record was going into bye. And all I heard was a guy that I think was maybe setting some things up about the final eight games of the season. But, like, even when he was asked about the final eight games of the season, well, we just got to see how it plays out. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then,
whatever you do, don't ask about about anything that happens January on. All right, about those final eight games. We'll see.
When I was trying to think of, like, monumental lines that Andrew Berry had in previous press conferences, and I did remember last January where he put Patrick Mahomes' name on it, which is a rarity. They don't put other quarterbacks' names in these type of things. Like, well, we're trying to chase down Patrick Mahomes. We're trying to be the Chiefs. Yeah. And I think that was one of the more memorable things that he did. He stopped short of doing basically anything memorable today.
So he was just Goodell today, right? He was just a meat shield.
Yeah. That was the job.
Yeah.
That was the job. And then also told us that at the end of the season, he's willing to address a lot more questions. So at the end of the season, he better address all of those questions.
Yeah, but he won't. That's the slight. I think that's what has Browns fans mad is it's
just kicking the can down the road.
Listen, I'll tell you, if you just simmer down.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you in January. And then in January, I'm not going to go into that. I don't think that's appropriate.
He might be out of a job by that point. Might not even have to answer for those.
That's true. And then he'll be on the media tour that you go on to try and get your next job.
I don't know that he will. I don't know that he will because I think he hates this stuff so much.
What do you mean, the PRs? No, I think he loves being a GM.
Oh, I think he loves being a GM. Yeah. I think he hates being like the stand in front of the media and then tell the media what his thoughts are and why he made a decision and why he did all. And let's be honest about it. Life's a lot more fun if you never have to take responsibility for anything. If you just get to just make any decision you want and never have a reason for why you do it or never have to back any reason for why you do it, it's a lot easier.
Well, yeah, but that's why I think he'll love the media tour, because in the media tour, he can say very little about, he can count the success that he had here. And then also talk about other people's failures.
You think one day we'll eventually hear how the Deshaun Watson decision came down? Because in those media tours, you can't just say, well, it was a collaborative decision like he did again today.
At some point,
you got to actually answer the question.
No. We'll never know. It lies with Jimmy Hoffa.
That's what's lying with Jimmy Hoffa.
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now who's going to spill the beans of the Deshaun trade.
Because Stefanski doesn't love doing this stuff either. Berry doesn't love doing this stuff. Nope. It's got to come. Who's it coming from?
Exactly who you think it's going to be.
Dee Podesta?
It's going to be Jimmy Haslam.
It can't be Haslam.
I guarantee. No,
Haslam still owns the team. It can't be him.
Well, no.
Unless he just puts it on it and says that was Andrew Berry.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I fired him, and now I'm going to just bust awesome,
yes,
too. And I know he hates doing the media.
Baker.
I know he hates doing the media, so I'm just not even going to... He's never going to be able to defend himself.
So I don't think it's going to be that, like, Jimmy says candidly, I loved Baker, and it wasn't my idea to do the Deshaun thing. I had to be talked into it. But will there be league sources? Oh, there will be league sources.
Man, the genius side of what Jimmy Haslam has done here is he's hired a whole group of people that collectively, I can't find one of them between Stefanski, Berry, or Dee Podesta that'll ever be on the Booyah Network chopping it up, talking about different things before a pregame or anything like that.
I can see J-Dub doing it.
Like Stefanski's never going to be on with Shannon Sharp, okay? Not going to happen.
I can see J.W. Johnson being on there. I mean that in a good way.
How do we get to J.W. Johnson?
Well, no, because I was thinking people in the organization, right? So he's not Jimmy. This sounds like I'm taking a shot.
It's a compliment.
I think like one of my favorite things about J.W. is he does say things. Like,
although his response to the Texans game was it was a bad day to have a bad day. But outside of that.
Yeah, I think he kind of was random, though, by the way.
It's not what I wanted to hear.
Like, look what you've done to me, Andrew Berry.
Like,
you
well,
have me agreeing with millionaires and billionaires.
It was a bad day to have a bad day.
Well, I will say, we have gone this whole time without commending the Cleveland Browns media troupe who today decided to just play it straight. There were so many questions today that I was just like, you get a king.
Gloves were off today.
Like, Andrew, I must say Andrew Jackson, different guy.
Different
Zach
guy.
Zach Jackson saying, are you happy with your drafting or something to that effect? To Andrew Berry, it was like, okay, now Shadell's question about Deshaun. You know what? Why don't we play Jeff Shadell's question to Andrew about restructuring the Watson contract at the beginning of this season? because there is some great Shadell in here.
Yeah, he is playing, and this is not a second guess. I want to be educated. why did you push that Deshaun money back?
Wait, just pause it real quick. This is exactly how I try and avoid every fight I've ever had with my wife.
I'm just trying to be educated.
I'm just trying to understand how you arrived at this conclusion.
I think it's...
There's no judgment.
Yeah.
There's no... I'm not second guessing. I would never second guess you. Me, dummy. You, smarty. Just give me a little insight into that. Now, it always leads to a fight with my wife. But my point is, I've absolutely played the I just want to understand card. And it never goes well, but I get an A for effort, right? Is that not just amazing Shadelling?
We're going to use it in that way?
Yes.
Shadelling?
Yeah.
You know I'm a big Jeff Shadell at a press conference guy. I always have been.
Yeah.
I think he just throws dynamite in the mix. And
I
just,
love
it's awesome.
It. Like, honestly, I just want to listen to... You know what? Let's finish off the clip, though, if we can.
You were under the cap, you know what I'm saying? So, can you explain that?
It's a great question, Jeff. I think you know me well enough that I don't talk about those issues, you know, in this setting. I do understand that it's an authentic question and it's a good one. I just I have a longstanding policy where I don't talk about contractual matters in this setting.
The longstanding policy, Nick.
Nobody knew.
I want to make it sure I have a longstanding policy on answering at any point if Andrew Berry is going to be fired or not. As a radio host, if I say I have a longstanding policy, that means you can't ask me about it, right? It's a policy that I created, and it's longstanding, so we're well aware of it.
I have a longstanding policy of not telling my doctor how much I weigh.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how hard he asks or what.
Yeah, no.
You know, it might save your life. Who knows?
No. The point is, that's between a man and himself.
I want to create as many longstanding policies as I possibly can.
Honestly.
This is a longstanding policy. I don't answer that question. I don't go down that road.
So honestly, think about how much less trouble we could get in with, like, management comes to us. Did you guys really say this on air? I have a long-standing policy of not talking about the things I've said on air.
Yeah.
I think it's best to avoid it. But I love the question.
Hey, what do we think about...
I respect the question.
What do we think about Darius Garland? You know I have a long-standing policy. When it comes to Darius, I just don't talk about him. That's it. I refuse to talk about him. It's the policy. I can't do anything about it. It's the policy, Nick.
Nick, we've heard that you said nice things about Deshaun Watson earlier this season, post the Raiders game. You said that it was the best game of the season and it might be leading somewhere. I have a policy of not discussing Deshaun Watson's games and performances on air. But I get the question. Boy, I mean, what a great question that was. But I have a longstanding policy.
It fits. It fits.
But no, I thought the Browns media today was great.
Well, and so I listen. I know it's a great group of media members, obviously, and they always ask hard questions. They always ask tough questions. I thought the gloves were off today.
Yeah.
And when the gloves are off in a media group, typically that means they don't believe that the GM is long for the job. When you go for the gusto there, you are not really. Think about all the people that have to, like, protect their sources. They have to make sure that they don't make the person that they want info from mad. All these type of things. Because they deal with these guys every single day. When you ask those type of questions, the gloves are off.
Gloves are off. So I actually think this is where we can put a bow on the whole thing. Because I think you're right. I think you are right that it was. And I also think, by the way, there is some disgust. I think we always make it like the fans are the only one disgusted by what's happened the last 3 years. No, I think if you talk to any media member who've been very respectful with this entire process, I think there should be some obvious disgust at, led here.
They're every day for the next 3 months is just watching bad football.
Well, and
meaningless football.
Not just that. They're on the front lines, and they're getting people, you know, anytime they tried to speak truth about the Deshaun situation or anything else, they took the brunt
of it, for sure.
Like, you know, in a way, the media becomes a meat shield for your bad decisions as well. But I also think, like, you know, I think you're right to say Andrew's never been the most verbose guy and the most giving guy externally. But when I saw the two of them, Kevin was just straight cliches and has been, still is. Andrew was always the guy that shaped it in a way where it felt like you got a kernel of something and a fair amount of answers. Today, that's as full Stefanski as you can go.
Yeah.
And I think that was clenching time. Like, we have to do this. We've set the precedence that this is when I speak, which is going into the bye, coming off the bye. We've set this precedence. If I don't do it, it's going to make people think something's amiss, which that's a smart play to do. But I'm just going to kind of answer in cliches because I know I don't want to step on a landmine. There's a few things he was verbose about. But I think when you hear a guy that's clenching that hard with a lot of his answers, I do think that's a tell.
It was hardly the hour that he did last year, where he basically invited everyone to have cookies, coffee, and hang out like it was story time with Andrew Barry.
And man, did it piss some people off. I was one of them. I really was.
Like, it should.
I think because I do think, like, and this is where...
I mean, I don't know what you expected, honestly. I don't know what you expected.
And that's fair. I think a fair retort to any kind of rundown of Andrew and what he said today is, well, he's not going to come out and be like, guys, I got to be honest with you. I did it. Right. I traded for Deshaun.
He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. I mean, he's playing a losing hand today. Can we admit that? He's playing a losing hand.
Yeah, he is. And I think that's totally fair to say. I would also say that leadership is sometimes, you don't have to say you were behind the Deshaun trade, but there's a lot of, it's almost like, what do you expect him to say? Just not that.
is that literally anything but that.
I feel like the bar's pretty low. Just, okay, what you did, take that, throw it out, and even 5% better, and maybe fans... There's always going to be a segment of fan bases that lose their mind.
I think he was playing a losing hand. I think there was nothing he could have said today that would have just resonated with anyone. But there's nothing you can say when you're a 2-7 football team, and there's a reason why we're talking about the media having the gloves off, because he might not have his job at the end of the season.
I just hate giving people who are paid a lot of money, who do a job that anyone would want to do, just being in the cliche business. Like, leadership is not that hard. And I know that, like, I'm sure the internal leadership is different than the external leadership. Still not great. 216-474-0092. Andrew Barrett, what'd you make of the press conference today? We got a loaded show today. Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst at 3. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider at 4. Thomas Dimitriou, former NFL GM, president of Sumer Sports at 5:20. Daryl Ryder at 6. We got Bandwagons at 6:20 with Macaroni Bologna. But as we get started... One of the few things Andrew Barry didn't run from earlier today, next on 92.3 The Fan. I like the young guys in our team and look forward to drafting some more. That's not what was asked, sir. I do understand that if you're Andrew, like, even if you throw out, like, Duane Jones or Cedric Tillman or...
And Tillman's name did get brought up once.
Yep.
It did.
Isaiah McGuire. Had to say that because earlier in the pre-show I called him Elijah and I enraged you.
Not enraged. I got very confused. And so I was kind of checked out at the moment and it was you and Keith going back and forth.
That's fair.
And then I didn't know if you were talking about... I didn't know if you were getting Elijah Moore or Isaiah McGuire. There was some combination there and I just genuinely... Nope. I was behind and I wanted to know where you guys were in the conversation.
Here's the bad thing. I had written down Elijah...
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
McGuire, when I was doing research on Browns prospects after they drafted him, and I'd gone back and I watched it, but I never corrected it. So every time I say Isaiah McGuire's name in my head, because I'm a visual person, I see my handwriting of Elijah McGuire.
Now, did you take note of the nice thing that I did to make you feel less dumb about a very, very easy and simple thing?
where you said, I checked out, yeah.
No, the part where I was like, oh, yeah, the undrafted guy, right? And that was just so you could be like, no, he was taken here, and here out of Missouri and all this other stuff. And then I'm like, oh, you are right, Nick.
Yeah,
you are right.
You got that one, Big Chief.
You knew it.
You can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken and Anthony on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app at 92.3. 1023thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episodes. I actually think Andrew should have gone hard in the paint.
Well, so
I think he should have defended his drafting.
What you are getting to is, I think, very interesting. The idea that if he goes up there and says, well, JOK was a Pro Bowler, Cedric Tillman was this, and like, and DeJuan Jones,
and just
goes into all the draft picks that he feels like he nailed, guess what he's doing then? He's playing defense. And you don't want to play defense in that moment. Not when you don't have the winning hand. I don't think playing defense is the right card. I mean, it's different.
I didn't know if we were talking about Sunday again.
Yeah, well, but think about it, though. Like, if he, in that moment, he sounds very, very defensive. If he is naming off, and it's not like he's not John Dorsey when he was with the Chiefs. And he's like, oh, you mean I drafted Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce? I might have a leg to stand on. That's not his hit rate right now.
Yeah, I will say, I think some of the Barry draft stuff has been reduced to an argument that I just find uninteresting. Like, there have been some good football players. There just haven't been good enough. And you've had a lot of draft picks.
But I think he knows that, and I think that's why he didn't want to go down that road.
Well, but I think, like, if you compare him to, like, what Les Snead has done, remember, like, the argument is you haven't had a first rounder for three straight drafts. That is a fair thing to point out. Except then you go to, like, I don't think the Rams have had a first rounder until this year.
Went prior to Jared Goff. Seven straight years.
Seven straight years, yeah. And Puka Nacua, and I mean, you just go through names.
Like, Cooper Kupp, Nacua, all those guys.
Again, like, that's the anomaly. Like, very few people draft third through six the way they've drafted. But I just think it's really interesting also, because we're about to play you the one thing that I think Andrew Berry did kind of maybe tip his hand a little bit, and it was about whether a total teardown is necessary for this Browns team.
I'd say two things. Like, in terms of the long-term planning, again, that's probably a better postseason discussion. You know, I think one of the beauties of the NFL is, you know, it's not like baseball. It's not like basketball, where at times you may need these, like, half-decade-long, you know, pivots or rebuilds. You know, I think you see it every year, you know, with teams. Just the margins are so thin. And then, honestly, with just the way that our sports works with player procurement, it's not like we're drafting a 16-year-old kid who's, you know, got to play 8 years in the minors before he comes and produces or something along those lines. So, you know, no, I think generally you don't necessarily have to see those pivots in our sport.
So I'll start with you, because I've said it, I've kind of reacted first. Thought partner, what did you think of that?
Thank you, thought partner. I appreciate that. That was the most telling thing that he said the entire press conference. That to me was the most, what the Browns are going to do next year. I think that was part of the giveaway. I think in addressing it, like, this has got to be his sell to Jimmy Haslam, does it not? Hey, we're not baseball. We're not basketball. This isn't a half-decade rebuild. This isn't something that's going to take forever and you got to tear down to the studs. No. Football is set up in such a way we're going to have a great schedule next year because we'll be in the fourth slot because we'll finish last in the division. We're going to have high draft picks. We're going to have a lot of opportunity to shore it up. And because of the way it's set up, you watch teams every single year. We get one team that goes from worst to first every single year. In fact, I was looking at the teams that finished last in their division last year, Nick. There's a lot of really good teams, and we can explain away why that is, like the Bengals, for instance, because of Joe Burrow and all those things. But there's four or five teams that finished last year that look like they're headed to the postseason this year. Like, the idea that Andrew Berry at least is aware, and he should be aware, he's a GM of a football team, that this doesn't have to be a seven-year deal, a five-year deal, that's refreshing. Like, that I loved.
I also think in not saying, hey, yeah, this thing needs, this thing is fine or whatever, I think it tells fans too. Yeah, I mean, hey, don't worry, this is going to be over quick in terms of the rebuild.
Right. And well, and his actions are backing up his words too, right? I mean, if you think about it, he didn't go fire sale with all the core pieces of the team at the deadline. He traded Za'Darius Smith. Okay, that's fine. We can live with that. That's not giving up the whole entire world. The main pieces are still there. And I think Andrew Berry's telling you. He's not expecting this thing to take forever.
Well, and I think what's interesting, by the way, can we just get to the first point? He's actually right. Like, if you are a decent organization, you should be able to turn this thing back around in 2 years, right? 1 year to get the quarterback and get that quarterback right if you're going to go with a young quarterback, and the second year to fortify the rest of this roster. And the problem is, you have to draft well to do that.
Well, and that's the hard part, is that it does kind of feel like that guy with their last $3, and it's like, all right, I guess we're buying a lottery ticket. We really need this lottery ticket to work.
I'm right here, dude.
I know. Right, I should just said your name on it. But like, it's kind of how it appears in many respects. That's fine. At least he's telling us with this way. I mean, we had Daryl on. How many times have I mentioned it? Daryl, was it Monday? We won't be competitive to 2029. Andrew Berry told you right there, that's not their game plan. They're not doing this tear down of the studs thing and going to take a million years to figure it out. They're going to get after it.
I think that's where he was on the defensive. Because I've been on the, well, if you actually know what you're doing, a rebuild shouldn't take that long. Tops, it should take 3 years.
Yeah.
If it takes longer than 3 years, you're just bad at this.
3 years is an eternity in the NFL.
You can't really get
a turnaround in 3 years. What are you doing?
And by the way, one of those years you should be bad. Another one of those years you should be competitive, meaning like 500-ish. And the third year you should be in the playoffs again. Or on the cusp of the playoffs, yeah?
Yeah.
Like and by the way, that's again still a long timetable. If you get the quarterback right, can be sped up. I just think, like, does Andrew Berry think he's going to get a second year of a rebuild?
Well, then this is his, it's not even a Hail Mary pitch. I think it's a very practical, I think it's realistic pitch, but this is the pitch he has to make to Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah.
Right? 'Cause you can't sell him on the idea that I'm going to be employed for 10 years potentially and have one playoff win and then we'll just kind of ride off in the sunset if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, you got to tell Jimmy, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do this instantly.
Well, but like if Andrew Berry was being honest about like what's best for Andrew Berry, it is trying to do what you've done the last 2 years. Like, I honestly think they went as hard as they did on stacking this team with one-year guys and all this, because I think they knew if we don't make the playoffs again in year four, it's probably our butts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what's interesting is this either speaks to, all right, I finally feel the security to be pragmatic and speak to, hey, this is what we need. We've done what we did to get by and give DeSean a chance, but now we need to reset the deck. Or I think he is otherwise I think he just might know his, you know what, is grass. Like I don't know. I didn't feel great about that answer.
Does it feel like a Hail Mary attempt? I feel like it's what I like about it is I feel like it's what he would do if he was given a lifetime contract or if he was in the spot that I think he's in where he's legitimately trying to make a pitch to keep his job.
I think it's the latter. And I think that's the, like, I don't know if you're Jimmy Haslam, how you can look at the draft record and go, this is, it's not awful. It's not what some of the draft classes have been. That's not the bar. If we draft at the level we've drafted the last 5 years, how long's a rebuild going to take? Because it's probably going to take 3 years, if not more.
Well, yeah.
I know, by the way, that's before we get to, can you get the quarterback right?
Well, and that's the big key in all of this, is that can you get the quarterback right? And do we trust him to be the guy that drafts to get the quarterback right? Like, I had a crazy thought earlier today, because we mentioned John Dorsey with the Chiefs. John Dorsey's killing it with the Lions as well with the drafting, and he killed it here with drafting. I'm like, do you just throw the bag at John Dorsey to be a consultant type and be in that room and make the picks? I don't know.
No, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say I just bring back John Dorsey, but that's not happening.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, that's a bridge too far. But you might be able to do what the Lions did in this like consulting role where he just gets paid a bunch of money and then he's in the draft room and he's helping to make those picks. And because John Dorsey, we might make fun of him because we just knew him so well, but John Dorsey might be one of the best drafters in the previous decade in the NFL. When you talk about the hits that he's had, it's unreal.
Man, shoot or shoot. And John Dorsey is a shooter.
I mean, when he hits, he hits. Again, just the Chiefs alone is enough to be one of the best for the previous decade. Hunt, Mahomes.
There was more than that.
You stopped there. I was going to say Travis Kelce, but then just, you stopped on Kareem Hunt, and that was the start of it, and then we were just going to go down the line.
216-474-0092. Andrew Berry didn't run from the rebuild conversation.
You got me worried I said something other than Hunt there.
No. Was that a sales pitch, or is that a guy who knows his job is secure? We'll run it back, and we'll talk about how the committee has spoken for now. On 92.3 The Fan. We got Mark Ross coming up in about 15 minutes here. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Pierlin back on Afternoon Drive.
Thought partner, huh?
None of those words were relatable. Empirical. I actually kind of lost it at empirical.
Which is also kind of like directly, doesn't that directly fly in what we know of Dee Podesta as well?
That he's empirical? I don't know.
Yeah, because empirical's more like what you've observed, what you've seen, what you've been through, as opposed to being like a very stat-driven person. And all we know with Dee Podesta is that he's a stat-driven person. Neither here nor there.
I just think, like, this is a know-your-audience moment for Andrew Berry. No one in Cleveland is going to be like, Paul Dee Podesta's empirical. So I guess we should take the foot off the gas about firing this guy. who nobody knows what he does.
It felt like he wanted to start to say nice things and then felt like he was on a roll with saying nice things. Yeah. And so then he just kind of went with whatever came up in his head at the time.
I actually think
Was he blindsided by that question? He might have been blindsided by that question.
No.
Like, he just didn't think that was coming, which is a shame if that's the case.
Real take here. I think he was pandering. Listen, if Paul DePodesta... Well,
we've already established. When Nick says pander, it just means somebody likes something. So what are we doing here?
I think Andrew Barry likes his job.
Okay.
I think Andrew Barry... If the negative side of what Paul DePodesta does, which is apparently like... I guess that makes Jimmy Haslam Pinocchio and... Paul DePodesta is like the
old
puppet
man,
master.
The grandpa in the chair?
Yeah. It's not the great. He ends up, again, not going to go down. But
the one that created Pinocchio.
Yes.
He's the grandpa.
And he's the marionette, right? He's the guy that's kind of.
Back when Disney characters made every grandpa seem like they were like 90 years old, which is just not the case these days.
But if that's true, and internally everybody knows, maybe Paul DePodesta has more of a say, and if we get fired than if we have a say in him getting fired, I think that's the way you handle it, right? Like, he's an incredible thought partner. He's empirical.
Was that really
he's
like
a wizengamot?
Was that a bootlicking answer or no?
Yes, 100%. That's exactly what that was.
I felt like I don't think he was prepared to answer a question about DePodesta for some reason.
Yeah, and then when he did, he licked his chops and like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say the nicest thing. Because here's the thing.
Maybe. It certainly wasn't mean.
All right. Nobody in town is going to be like, hey, he's been empirical. I guess maybe I was wrong about Paul DePodesta. You know who's going to love being called empirical?
Paul DePodesta.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those.
You play that one back? Yeah.
He was like, hey, AB.
You hear that? Good job, AB.
Can I get a dap on the empirical? Because I've always wanted someone to say that about me.
We will wipe away everything else you said. But in those words, that was mwah, chef's kiss.
Well, thought partner, should we talk about the committee having...
Oh, by the way, if you're not Kevin Stefanski or anyone with any sort of humor in you and life at all, if when he leaves that press conference and you see him for the first time, you're like, what's up, thought partner? You just give him the business for it. You have to
do that. Listen, I know we're committed to afternoon drive because, I mean, it says everything without saying nothing at all. Thought partners. I was going to say, actually sounds like a bad CBS sitcom. Coming this fall to CBS, it's Thought Partners. We couldn't disagree more.
They're so quirky.
I cracked myself up there, and that's all that matters.
It's all that matters.
Well, Thought Partner, the committee smoking.
They might be smoking. Yeah, they might be.
Has spoken. Ohio State is somehow 2-5. They're ranked second in the country, but because Oregon is the one seed and the top four seed go to the conference leaders, that means Ohio State is 5. Big takeaways. Are you furious at the committee? Do you think they got it right?
It's too early to get furious at the committee.
It really is. That's a really good point. Way too early. I also think it's going to be the thing that actually leads to change. Because some team that is second in the country is going to be ranked 5th, and at some point it is going to upset that school and that fan base, and it will be like an Alabama or an Ohio State, and like 2 years later it's going to be like, well, now the top four seeds are just whoever's the top four teams in the country.
Isn't the answer just be better? Like, if Ohio State had beaten Oregon, then we don't have a discussion, right?
No, that's a logical thought. College football fans and everybody that works in it.
I'm sorry. Apologies to the message boards out there. Yeah. That's we're not going to have that.
Why does it have to be... Why can't you just be an auto playoff bid? Didn't the NBA fix this? Where, like, remember when you used to... If you were one of the three conference leaders, you got one of the top three spots in the playoffs on your side of the bracket?
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, like a team that plays in the Southeast Division, the 40-42 Hornets probably don't deserve to be the third seed.
Because you're trying to give off the impression that all the conferences matter the same, and they don't. Football is not, it's not built that way. Big Ten and the SEC are way different than everybody else, but they don't want to admit that.
But isn't the point of the Big 12 and the ACC don't want to admit that. I think the Big Ten and the SEC could fix this real quick. I'm not, by the way, I'm not mad about it. Like, I kind of think Ohio State fell into the perfect position because those first two rounds look mighty easy right now. I'd rather face Boise State and the winner of Indiana and Tennessee than I don't know, Alabama, and then either Notre Dame or Georgia. I would rather face that side of the bracket, even though you still got to go through. Oh, by the way, I'd rather face Oregon than Georgia.
No, we're still in the part of this whole new system where we're trying to be fair and decent to all the parties that play here. Eventually, we're going to get to the spot where I think we're talking about, where it's the SEC and it's the Big Ten, and then everybody else just kind of almost ceases to matter.
Hey, you're 13th ranked Big 12 championship. Yeah, there are only 12 teams, but you're 13th. Don't let that... They can't take that away from you.
Yeah. Eventually, when we have 25 teams in both the Big Ten and the SEC, this is the system we're going to end up getting.
I actually think Ohio State being ranked second in the country is probably the bigger issue. Like, I don't think they played like the second best team. I don't think they played like the eighth best team. But, like, I totally understand how Georgia fans might feel today of, like, okay, we lost to Alabama, which at the time was an incredible loss. I know we haven't played maybe our best football. We've still beaten more teams than Ohio State has.
Yeah, I think that's fair. What it was interesting to me is how many people, when we discussed it last night, even came away with the idea of like, oh, I didn't even know they seeded it like this. Like, they did a horrible job of getting us like excited and trying to present it and getting us on board for a new system. Pretty lousy job by college football.
Did you love or hate the ESPN, the way they put it up?
I loved it. I actually did love that.
It looked totally like chaos.
Yeah, I loved that, though.
And that is...
I loved it.
Well, yeah, the problem
is... I thought the presentation was awesome.
Problem is, we can both be contrarians. And the problem is, I think it confused a lot of just normal, like, average college football fans. Like, people just tuning in, I think it really confused the hell out of them.
I don't think they were mentally prepared for it. Again, because college football did a miserable job explaining, like, this is what's going to be happening.
We'll get back to some of the theories in Ohio State as the five seed, but did the committee get it right? I think if you're an Ohio State fan, I think, you know, you lost to Oregon. There's no, like, you might not like being the five seed if you're ranked second in the country. I think you're right on this year specifically, or the first rankings, which is, well, if you beat Oregon, we wouldn't be having this conversation. When we come back, Mark Ross, former NFL executive, NFL Network analyst, he's going to talk about the Browns, a rebuild, and how the heck do you get out of this Deshaun situation? Next on 92.3 The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.